standing tall together. We raise our hands and hail our flag, the Maple Leaf forever.
Greetings, cocktail fans, and welcome to the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. You okay, Jason? You look like you're a little verklempt, as they would say.
I was overcome just to see you guys again.
Oh, again, you get all emotional.
No.
Where's his heart in his sleeve, this guy? Anyways, I guess, like I said, it's the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure with your various cocktail information and mixing and other stuff.
Why you're not in charge of the mission statement.
That's right. How's that coming along, anyways?
It's into first draft still.
This is why you should not be in charge of the mission. Fred, you're taking over the mission statement.
And I'm Fred Partridge.
Yes, the other host. And, okay, that wasn't a very elegant intro, but, you know, you threw me off. There, Jason, you look like you were about to choke.
I know, I felt a little suddenly gassy, and the more I was away.
It's that glass of cold water I gave you just before we started recording.
Yeah, I don't like drinking water as a general rule.
No, you like...
loosen my tongue.
I like my water to be 40% alcohol.
Well, you've come to the right place.
Yep.
Look at us, surrounded by all of these.
Oh, look at all this stuff.
Yeah, wow, this is crazy.
There's bottles, crazy. Glasses.
And our theme for the show is because we're coming up, as we record this, to July 1st, which is Canada's 150th birthday. So we thought we'd
151st if you're listening to this in 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if it was 2017 you're listening to...
Oh, yeah you're right on target.
Yes.
Canada's sesquicentennial.
Oh. What?
Wow. It's Canada's sesquicentennial.
I thought that was something with Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Well, it's Canadian.
Yeah.
Sure. But the cocktails have a Canadian theme, right? Because they're named after two fine Canadian cities.
Yes.
One is better than the other.
That's right.
City-wise.
Leave a comment and let us know which one is.
Yeah. We'll vote.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think I expressed my fear.
Oh, yeah, very well. Yeah.
Of heights.
Yes. Yes. Well, I was working through that.
I was worried about you'd just end up with a maple-flavored rye or something.
Oh, yes, if we did a Canadian cocktail, it was going to be...
The more I thought about it, the more I thought, oh, you know what I could really use? I want a cocktail with rye and maple syrup in it. But by then, the ship had sailed. You came up with something even better.
Well, hopefully it is better. Hopefully it's better.
I like your confidence.
So tell us about our two cocktails.
I'll tell you about the two drinks that we're not going to do.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Because Fred dutifully...
Oh, yeah.
And beautifully...
Mm-hmm.
Googled maple syrup into a tiki search. Into the Beach Club Berry Tiki search. And he came up with two drinks. And each of them had about 18 ingredients.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I was tickled.
And as much as we wanted to do them, I didn't want to do that.
No, it's exhausting in the middle of summer. Tiki drinks, ideally October, November.
That sounds a little too pretentious for Canadians. Don't you think 18 ingredients? Don't we go more for the simple...
Oh, yeah. The most 10 provinces and 3 territories.
That's all you're going to do.
And then in the latest issue of Taste Magazine, it had these two drinks. Actually, it had multiple drinks. It had a caribou cocktail, which was a warm one.
Yeah, or cold.
Or cold, but you made it warm.
Yeah.
And you made it warm and drank it warm and made it warm and waited.
Yeah.
And then there was a Caesar, which is very Canadian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it almost seemed, I don't know. It's
too easy.
Yeah.
I'm working on a version of that, but it's not ready yet. It's in the skunk works.
That's right. And I think Fred's working on, you know what a Caesar is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you got 2 ounces of vodka, say.
It's like a liquid salad, isn't it?
Like a liquid salad. And then a bunch of Clamato juice, mm-hmm. and then seasonings.
Yeah.
But he's trying to make a shorter version of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can.
I don't know if you can. It's tough so far. But,
other than by just cutting everything in half.
Cutting everything in half. Yeah, just baking. Yeah, that's why I don't want to end up with... That's just like a Caesar, except, you know, it's just half the size. So I'm working on that.
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
You need like an overproof vodka.
Maybe that's it.
And a concentrated Clamato.
I don't know. Maybe you have to get into some of those fancy, maybe a gelatinous glob of something.
And that sounds delicious.
So are you finished with the cocktails we're not going to make?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Moving on.
Edit
that out.
The Saskatoon?
Oh, that's right. Well, yeah, let me get the book.
All right.
Get the book. You can read what they are.
I can't read.
Oh, that's right.
This is from Taste Magazine, is it? Which issue is this, Jason?
This is the Taste Magazine summer issue, 2017.
Yeah. I'm going to take my jacket off
because
it's
hot. Yeah, you do that.
It's hot.
Fred's wearing sunglasses. And look at cufflinks. Look at that. Speaking of the gentleman of elegant leisure.
I might have to get a picture of those and put them on our Instagram account.
How come you guys don't have...
Is that the Hulk diamond you're wearing on your sleeve?
I can't really say.
Diamond Jim Partridge here.
They think they've got the original.
You switched it out.
A matching tie tack to go with those?
Wow. Oh, he really is a gentleman. He's really
a bit of a fop. Yeah,
well, yeah. I prefer Dandy, but you know, I'll...
Dandy Nancy Fop.
So was it Saskatoon?
There's the Hotel Saskatchewan,
mm-hmm.
which was a Canadian club, honey syrup, and lemon juice. And we thought, well, that just sounds like something we've already done.
Yeah.
There's the Toronto cocktail, which we're going to do. There's the Caribou cocktail, which was the one that was the Cabernet Sauvignon, rye, maple syrup, just like what Fred said. But because it was a hot one, we chose not to do it because it's been so damn hot here.
Yeah.
The classic Caesar in it is here, which we're not going to do. But the Vancouver cocktail that we're going to do because we live in Vancouver-ish.
More or less.
The suburbs.
Yes.
I've been to Vancouver.
Yeah. I could go to Vancouver right now.
Sure, I could be there in an hour.
Yeah.
Or less.
Yeah, less, really, because we're so close to the freeway.
Sure, and everybody's coming out.
Yeah.
I'm heading in.
Right. We're 25 minutes. We're within the actual city limits.
Right at the border.
Already we're in Greater Vancouver.
Sure, so we might as well.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Now... I did some research on the Vancouver cocktail, and it's now supposedly invented at the Sylvia Hotel. Is that
what I've heard? Okay, yes. Go on.
Well, it just said it was, reportedly created at the Sylvia Hotel in Vancouver, BC during the 1950s. The Vancouver is a sultry descendant of the Martinez.
Oh, the Martinez.
With the ethereal flavor of Benedictine herbal liqueur riffing on the botanicals of gin and sweet vermouth. This is from SeriousEats.com. And said, well, then the drink sank into obscurity before being revived by Vancouver bartenders just a few years ago.
Yeah.
And the Sylvia claims on its website that in 1954 it opened the first cocktail bar in Vancouver.
Wow, and I think I've heard that too, but I always thought that the Hotel Vancouver had the first cocktail bar in Vancouver.
Hmm.
Oh, you do like to throw a rock at the hornet's nest, don't you?
Yeah, you're going to cause problems. It's a knockdown, drag-out fight.
Exactly, and I got that from my dad.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then he died under mysterious circumstances at the Sylvia Hotel.
Interesting.
Now, have you guys been to the lounge? I don't think I've ever been to the lounge of the Sylvia.
I've had a drink at the Sylvia.
I haven't had a drink in the lounge, but now I will.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Jennifer, one of the fine old hotels in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's a little boutique. Lovely, lovely place right there on English Bay.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yep. Covered in ivy.
Covered in ivy, yeah.
They rather get a spray for that.
So anyways, that's my little...
Oh, right, yeah.
That's your history of the Vancouver cocktail. Yeah. The funny thing was, the first time I heard about the Vancouver cocktail was, I can't remember the name of that place, Zigzag.
Zigzag
Cafe in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Was the first time I heard about the existence of the Vancouver cocktail.
Yeah, oddly enough.
I had one there. Mm-hmm. I forget if I've since had one in Vancouver. I think I have made one a few years ago, but we're going to be making the Vancouver cocktail and bringing it back.
Yeah, big time.
We're going to put it on the internet.
What?
Yeah. We're recording this episode.
Yep.
This episode will be recorded and filmed.
And I'll be able to download this on my computer machine?
Yes. There's iTunes, Stitcher,
Google Play,
Google Play Music, right here on our website where you found us.
Ren and Stimpy, we can get it on Ren and Stimpy.
Get it on Ren and Stimpy.
You sure?
I'm sure. You got to go to
gentlemanofelegantleisure.com. Right, yes.
And we're going to put it right on the internet so people know about the Vancouver cocktail.
Okay.
This internet thing is going to take off.
I got
a letter from Shaw.
Yeah.
And they're...
Doubling down on this.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be bigger than pagers.
All right.
The internet.
Yeah. Anyways.
So because we live in Vancouver, we could either do the Vancouver cocktail first.
Mm-hmm.
Or because we live in Canada and we're so polite, we could do the Toronto cocktail first as an out-of-towner.
No, fuck Toronto.
What?
And there we go. And we're off.
Okay.
The Vancouver cocktail.
We're talking about the Vancouver cocktail. We might as well
stop. Yeah. Okay, let's do that. So what's in that? Remind me.
These cocktails...
Because I have a short-term memory
issue. The Vancouver cocktail has 1.5 ounces of gin,
mm-hmm.
1/4 ounce of sweet vermouth.
Great.
1/4 ounce of a Benedictine B&B.
There we go.
Which we got here. That's I've actually got the B&B. I have Benedictine, but this is brandy and Benedictine is what B&B is.
Huh. Can I make that at home?
Sure.
If I had brandy and Benedictine?
If you had brandy and Benedictine.
Yeah, half and half.
And time on your hands.
Yeah.
You could make your own.
I got time.
What
else?
A little bit of orange bitters.
Yep.
And some lemon zest. What could be nicer, right? We're going to have gin, vermouth, herbal stuff, and some orange bitters.
All right.
And then a lemon zest. And because you brought your zester, zesty.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to put on there.
All right.
Now, I could make it now, or we could talk for a while.
No, I'm thirsty and hungry.
And he's hungry.
But if I drink, I don't have to worry about either one of those things.
Well,
that's it.
Is that our meditation bell?
Yep.
The cocktail monks are being called for afternoon libation.
They always say that Canadians are polite.
Yeah.
I find a lot of Americans say that Canadians are polite.
Now, yeah.
But I think the Americans are wrong. I think the Americans are way more polite than any Canadians I've ever met.
Really?
Certainly in customer service.
In customer service,
they're, you know. Like if I were to go to your place of work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're surly.
I'm not going to get into it. Nothing.
And insulting.
Just joking around. No, your service is fine.
They take you for granted. And they knock you around if you disagree with anything.
Well, yeah. Yeah. That's where the whole polite facade goes to ruin.
No, I always think it's funny. They're so Canadians are also polite, and yet, I don't know. I don't think we're really that polite.
No.
I think we're scared. We're running scared a lot of the time. People mistake that for politeness.
Yeah. So what are you going to do with the gin?
Let's do a mixture of Bombay Sapphire and Boodles.
That's weird.
That's not illegal, is it? Can you actually do that? That doesn't
break
any...
Okay, let's do that.
Bartending.
Well, then Dave can get a new bottle of Bombay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
How much you need? That might be enough.
Well, it calls for 1.5 ounces, but of course we doubled it for what we're going to be doing.
Right.
But,
it looks like you got about 3 ounces there.
I think so. But we'll do...
Two times 1.5 ounces?
Yeah, we'll do 1.5 ounces of that one.
Yeah.
And that. And then people can listen to what the sound of pouring drinks sounds like.
I've never heard that before.
The Boodles is overproof, too, a little bit, right?
Oh.
I forget what the alcohol content is on it. And I'd have to read it here in my hand. It's 45.2%.
Oh.
Too bad we couldn't get any of that Bombay Sapphire that was, what was it, 70%?
Oh, yeah.
The snafu.
Yeah, great stuff.
And see, and then people mocked us, mocked Canadians for reporting it.
Yeah, well, they say it should.
Whereas all Canadians who was that asshole that told people, then we just all buy it?
It had been out for a while before they had their first complaint.
Mm. Right.
So it wasn't like it happened right away.
So, and I guess, I mean, you'd only really tell probably that it was overproof if you were drinking it straight.
Yeah.
Who's drinking straight gin? I mean, me.
You.
When I run out of scotch, I'll go for the straight gin. But I have a problem.
Yeah, not enough gin. So there's the Benedictine and brandy. What is it? So it's like, interesting. I just got Benedictine.
I think my next bottle of gin, I'm gonna go back to my Tanqueray.
Oh, yeah, go Tanqueray.
Because when I worked in the ad business, well, I sort of still do, but when I worked at an ad agency,
yes,
in the summer, we had your gin and tonic Friday afternoons. You know, mm-hmm. After work, we'd all have a gin and tonic, and it was Tanqueray. So, I'm feeling nostalgic, so I'm going to have to go.
It's quite a civilized place you worked at.
Yeah, well, of course.
This one we stir. We don't shake this one. And for you at home that are trying to achieve your proper stirring results, you get these long spoons and you try to to spin it in your hand so that the back of the spoon is almost against the glass. It's a technique. I have not mastered it. But it's not just willy-nilly banging around in your cereal bowl with a spoon. There's an element to it. That's why you have the big curly spoon.
Oh. Well, we missed it. Yeah, we need to get into more bar technique.
Video. What are you saying?
I'm just saying you watch them on YouTube in the bars. The YouTube ones, of course, they're practicing. They're doing it for show, but they get through they flip around the jiggers and they spin the spoons and a little flourish when they pour it out.
Yes, we don't do anything.
We just want to get right to the drinking, so it's like who's got time for that nonsense?
And it's a lovely color. It actually matches the picture that we have in our little book here.
That's a nice golden color. A little bit like apple juice.
Mm-hmm. So this is the water that comes right out of the Capilano River on North Vancouver. Is this color? Wow.
You really went all out for this Vancouver cocktail. Oh, that is a nice color.
And then we do a twist of lemon over it. And let's use Fred's fancy zester here. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, this thing works like a bee's knees. Oh my cow.
Isn't that great?
That is great. That's almost too great.
I thought I was doing it wrong, but no, you have to have the right tools. So with this, there's a bunch of them on the market, but you got to look for the ones that, I mean, I can't remember whose that is. There's, I think Westhoff makes one, and this is the other one.
It has sort of a trident on it.
Okay, so I think that's the Westhoff. But there's only a few. There's a whole bunch that are bad. I actually have one that doesn't work. It looks like that, but it's not sharp. And if it's not sharp, it's got to cut like a knife.
Oh. Quick. Cue the music.
Brian Adams.
Enter. Of course, for the Vancouver cocktail, it has to be Brian Adams.
That might be our theme song for this episode.
I don't think we can afford that as a theme
song. Oh, he doesn't have to know, does he?
Internet. Everybody knows everything.
No.
All right.
Here we go. Maybe I should take a... Well, just before we... We'll start sipping here. One good
shot of these drinks. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, they're a pale yellow color. Mm-hmm. The Benedictine does a nice job. I thought it would be more red from the red vermouth that's in it, but it seems to just get hidden in there. Of course, not very much is in there.
Yeah, that's a splash.
All right, here we go.
I got this one.
Thank you, Jason.
You are welcome. Mm. Happy Canada Day.
Happy Canada Day.
Oh. We would share this with you because Canadians are notoriously generous, but we haven't found the technology yet to go through the thing. Mm. On the nose.
Oh, you get that lemon twist.
Yeah, lemon twist. Mm. And I think I get a little bit of the vermouth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's go in for a sip.
Just the soup's home. Vermouthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but... But not too vermouthy.
No.
No, this is quite balanced. You get the herbal stuff from the Benedictine.
Yeah.
I get a little bit of gin.
Mm-hmm.
I get the lemon.
Not a lot of gin, though.
No, just a little. It's like everybody's in there doing what they're supposed to do. Just like Vancouver.
Oh.
The city itself.
Anyway, and this is your special gin blend.
Yes.
This is your half Bombay Sapphire and half Boodles.
Yes, this one here they call for Victoria Gin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on another recipe I read, they said you could use Plymouth Gin.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gone Boodles and Bombay.
Because I have seen a few bars. I guess they don't want to give away their secrets, so they're going to their own blends of gins and some rums as well.
Really?
When we were in Portland, I noticed that a couple places said, special gin blend.
Well,
I know.
I don't know.
But then they don't have to spend out the big bucks for. I don't know. I don't know why they're doing it. I guess they've got reasons, and maybe they like a gin just a certain way. Maybe one's too junipery, one's too much cucumber, and they.
I guess so.
I don't know.
All right, I'll give it to them. Because, I mean, that's what Don the Beachcomber would blend all the different rums because you couldn't get a rum that tasted like what he wanted.
Right.
But rums are so vastly different. I never really thought that gin was all that different.
Well, I don't know.
Different gins?
I need to experience more brands, I think.
I'm going to be getting a craft gin from Portland, or from, no, from Oregon, I think. I'm getting one from my brother. Actually, I think he wants to keep it, but my sister-in-law is giving it to me, so, because she doesn't like it, so it's out of there. So yeah. I'm going to get that, and, but maybe we should do it. Maybe, should we do it like a gin taste-off of some sort?
See, I'd love to get, there's a big gin revival going on in Germany, because for years, gin wasn't consumed there. It was mostly vodka after the war.
Right.
And, you know, schnapps. And, but gin has really taken off. And so one of our followers, Lucky Hans.
Ooh. Right, Lucky Hans.
Yeah, he likes a lot of our stuff, but I can't find it here in North America. So oh.
What is it?
It's gin. It's Lucky Hans gin.
Oh, Lucky Hans gin.
Yes.
Wonder if you can get it in England.
That doesn't help us.
It might. It might. I know people.
Do you have a British connection?
Well, we've a couple. We've got Dean's going, and Crystal's there for 2 years.
Oh.
So I don't know. I forgot about that. Well, there you go.
But Dean might, I don't know what Dean does when he comes back. But only if they've got German gin in England.
I think Lucky. I'll have to look it up. But yeah.
Right.
But anyways, yeah. I mean,
unless
I like
Brexit has screwed it all.
Yeah, that's right.
It's screwed up everything. They can't import anything. But anyways, yeah. My point was, I need to try more gin, I think.
Yeah.
Lighter mine.
Well, we could do that.
Yeah.
But you might be right. I thought we did chase Lucky Hans one time online down to England somewhere.
Yeah, I think that sounds familiar. So
we have Dina. Oh, Crystal who?
Hedlow.
From the Players Club?
Yeah.
She going to England?
She's moved there.
Moved there? Pourquoi?
Yeah.
Just because? Because she could.
Hmm.
Like she got British connections?
Apparently she does. She has a passport.
There you go. So, folks, you're listening. Crystal, who none of you know, is going to England.
I have to send her the link to the podcast. So, you know, I said, listen to all 26 episodes or 27 episodes, and you'll hear us mention you.
Exactly. And then find out if we can stay there if we go over to England.
That's what I'm working on.
Okay.
Excellent.
So, right. Well, that was good. I like the cocktail. That's a nice balanced cocktail. I think it's not a summertime drink.
No, and it's a thinking drink. It's another thinker drinker.
Yeah, you want to sip this one a bit.
Yeah, it's a little bit drier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it is a
little... But there's no... I didn't detect like a burn aftertaste
at all.
It's
not bitter. There's no bitter
and
there's no... Really no sour.
No.
It's. I mean, if it's any... It's a little sweet, but really not very sweet. But but that's the way it sort of goes, but...
Yeah. Mm. I like it.
Interesting.
Good on you, Vancouver.
Good on you, Vancouver. And whoever the clever bartender was that...
at the Sylvia Hotel.
Banged this thing together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think you ought to do now?
Well, I don't know. I'm just happy to sip this and wax poetic on the majestic mountains, the idyllic harbor, and the gentle souls that make up the city of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Come.
Are you looking for a job writing postcards?
Come for the airport. Leave immediately because there's nothing to do in this city.
Unless you like hiking.
Unless you like hiking. But still, you'd get out of the city.
Yeah, you would.
I can't believe how many things that you'd look at and say, you should come to Vancouver. Do you know how far... If you come to Vancouver, you can be in Seattle in like 2 hours.
Yeah, that's the trap.
Yeah. Come to Vancouver. You can be in Whistler in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Come to Vancouver. Go to Victoria.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of publicity about Vancouver as a...
Yeah,
place to go somewhere from.
That's you know, people came here just to go to the Klondike, or or the gold fields up in the interior. They came to Vancouver, and then they got
it's a place you pass through.
Yeah, that's right.
What you do.
A long tradition of people stopping in briefly
and leaving after they had a cup of coffee and a sandwich.
Yeah,
I think it's doing okay cocktail wise. It's some good, interesting,
great cocktail wise,
and it's great food town. Great foodie.
No, it is. No, it's great. Right. There's lots of cocktails. It's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And by getting better, I mean it's great.
That's right. But where you're from is better.
Oh, yeah. Stay there. Don't come here.
No.
We're full.
Go to Portland.
Portland's wonderful. I love Portland.
You could probably still afford it.
Taco. Portland all day.
Yeah.
So, interestingly enough, the Toronto cocktail, much like the city of Toronto compared to Vancouver, is completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Toronto, the city with the big shoulders, the big easy. No, Big Apple.
It's not the Big Apple.
The Windy City.
Hogtown. Yeah.
The Pork Belly of America.
No.
Toronto.
No.
Jewel of the Pacific.
not that either. Sorry.
The Diamond of Lake Erie. What is it on? What lake is it on?
Superior?
No, it's not on Superior.
Ontario?
Lake
Ontario?
That's
Erie?
What's the other one?
Are we running out of Superior?
Huron?
No.
Erie? Is it on Lake Erie?
I think it's on Lake Superior.
Boy, this doesn't sound good that we don't know our...
It's on a lake.
Sure it is.
It's on a big lake.
That's right. It's not Superior. You know that for sure. It's either Ontario or Erie, and I'm sorry that I've forgotten.
Leave a comment and blast Jason.
They drill this into you in grade 5, and then they never touch on it again.
No, it doesn't really come up.
No.
It's not really an issue. I can look it up on my phone.
Go to all of the... Yeah, you look it up while I make this. This is going to have rye.
Okay.
It's going to have Fernet Branca. Fernet Branca. This is our first drink with Fernet Branca.
Yeah. It doesn't come up very often.
Is she an Italian actress? It sounds like it.
She lived... She was actually Gina Lola Brigida's dresser.
Oh.
I don't even know if it's called Fernet Branca. That's probably the wrong way to say it, because it's Italy, so it's Fernet Branca!
Sure.
That's awful. Oh, terribly sorry. From Fratelli Branca. And I read somewhere that this was like drinking this was like getting hit in the face with a eucalyptus branch.
Nice.
I've heard even stronger language.
Really?
Yes.
Well, do you care to share?
Sure. Yeah, I can. I did a little research on
Ontario.
Is it
Ontario? Okay.
Okay. That would make sense.
It's
in Ontario.
I'm going to give you a little sip of this up straight. Babe.
Yeah. That's why I brought these up.
Oh.
I got the little shot glasses.
Oh, everybody's going to have a shot of Fernet Branca.
Yeah, because we've been warned about it.
Because in Argentina, I believe. Is that what you were going to say?
Argentina and Uruguay, they actually have it with. Coca-Cola. And the Germans have it with Red Bull.
Wow.
Wow.
Nobody should have anything with Red Bull.
No.
Red Bull.
No. No. God. Yeah. Especially, you don't mix your stimulants with your depressants. Come on.
Red Bull. My God.
But anyways, it's Fernet is a, it's a type of spirit. It's an Amaro. Amaro.
Yeah.
Which is Italian for bitter.
Right.
And it's from one family. The recipe's been handed down from one generation to the next. The bitters are made from 27 herbs and other ingredients. And the exact formula is only known to the president of the company of Fernet Branca, Niccolo Branca, who personally measures out the aromatics during the production process.
Really?
Yeah. Like it's some sort of mad... cocktail scientist.
I can smell 27 herbs. I mean, yeah. This is a complicated.
I was so thrilled when I first, because I thought it was going to be harder to find, and then of course it was in every liquor store, and which I'm amazed by that this would be a staple product.
They ordered it once in 1994.
So are we all gonna, are we all shoot this back then?
Are we gonna shoot or do you want to sip it?
I think I'm gonna sip it.
All right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, am I going to do that?
There you go.
Gee whizzikers.
Whoa.
Oh, yes.
Oh, don't do that. Don't ever do that.
So, a little more trivia. As I let this settle. Of course, like with many of these kind of drinks, it's invented for medicinal purposes.
It is. They upped the medicinal on this one.
They claimed that there was a remedy for overeating, flatulence, hangovers, gas pains, and lifting yourself off the floor when you've mixed oysters and bananas.
But
the two things that go together the most.
It's an odd thing.
But getting back to the sort of the poison aspects of it. Apparently in 1960, you'll like this because you like this person in this story.
Yes.
In 1960, Betsy von Furstenberg was suspended from Actors Equity for spiking Tony Randall's onstage drink with Fernet Branca. Randall believed he had been poisoned with iodine.
Get that.
Yeah.
And I also get Tony Randall doing that.
Yeah. Getting all huffy. But... Yeah,
well, it's got the sort of the mouthfeel of gasoline.
I've never siphoned gasoline.
Oh no, you should try it once.
Well, maybe when after the gin tastes.
After this, it might actually taste pretty good.
Now here's the alarming thing for me, because I have already gone through what we're all going through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't mind it as much as I did that first time when I was like, holy cow.
Really?
Yeah.
There's something wrong with you. You should see somebody immediately.
I guess so.
Because this has got...
There's something... it's slightly leafy tasting. Like, yeah. Like a slight spearmint or something.
It's the eucalyptus.
Yeah. It's the botanical.
And I get iodine.
Yes.
So I've got two of the flavors right there.
I get Listerine.
A little Listerine-y. Yep.
Now, is that iodine? Is that what's in Listerine? Is that what gives it that flavor?
I don't know. It's,
Do we call it a Toronto cocktail?
I am. I don't know.
I was down at the poorhouse.
Yep.
On account of I don't make enough money.
The poorhouse.
In Gastown.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful little craft cocktail place and eating establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was down there, and I said to a guy, a bartender, mm-hmm. fortunately, as opposed to just a random visitor.
Good.
I said, I kick myself mm-hmm. every time I remember this, because it sounds so shitty to say, but I said, I'm a fan of the craft. You believe that? I said, I'm a fan of the craft.
Wow.
I didn't say it quite like that. I didn't have a scarf on.
You're fired.
But it sounds like that in my head. I'm a fan of the craft. Like I was waving my arms around. Mm-hmm. So just make me something.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, have you heard of Fernet Branca? And I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't crazy about it.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'd opened up the can of worms by saying, I'm a fan of the craft. Hit me with your best shot.
Yep.
He made me a cocktail that featured Fernet Branca in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have any more drinks after that. That was my last drink of the night. Because it wasn't... It's not that it's not nice. It's not nice for North Americans.
Mm.
We're not used to this flavor. You wouldn't want to drink a lot of this.
I actually like it more than I thought I was going to like it.
That's what I was going to say.
I like it a lot less than
I thought. Maybe we're more European than we'd like to live.
Apparently I'm not.
No, you've been to Europe and it hasn't worn off on you.
Holy.
Really? Because but you eat all sorts of crap and garbage, and you're like Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I thought you would warm up to it once you got the idea of the flavor.
Give me a...
Want some more?
No. I'm working my way through the thimbleful you already gave me, but...
I'm going to have another little sip here before we...
You're insane. What's wrong with you guys?
I cleaned mine out before you guys did.
I didn't get you guys checked out by a doctor.
You want a little more?
No, I'm good. I'll wait for the actual...
Because I'm trying to get an idea about what it would taste like with Coke. I mean, would it make it taste like somebody dumped Listerine in Coke?
I think with Coke it would be okay because it mainly tastes like Coke, but...
Yeah, because, I mean, I think the sugar would just overpower
This would be nice. I think it would add some nice herbal notes to a Coke, but there's nothing.
Really? Have you had a lot of echinacea in your life?
No, I hate echinacea.
Well, yeah, that's what I can
understand. And it doesn't work. It's a myth.
Yeah. Listen, it works just fine.
It doesn't work. It's all a placebo effect.
If a placebo works, though, then it works.
Well, yeah, but you're still spending money.
You can get a cheaper placebo somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. What, mind over matter?
Just chewing some actual echinacea leaves or buds.
I've done that.
Oh, okay. Well,
I haven't done that.
Then it's all good.
I took a beautiful picture of it.
Oh.
I wonder if I can find that picture and put it on the blog site.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Oh, my gosh. Fernet Branca just takes me back.
It does.
So what's...
sorry.
Okay. Yeah, let's...
Anyways, getting to the Toronto cocktail.
Hit the record
button. Yeah, we're almost down.
I think we're ready to start this thing off.
So we're coming up to the 1 hour mark.
So the Toronto cocktail, let's try to imagine this in our head. It's got 2 ounces of rye.
Mm.
And now we're going to be using Canadian Club 100% rye.
Yeah, which I like.
Nice and toasty. Now, you know what's interesting is that they make a big deal about this being 100% rye, but most of your Canadian whiskey is actually mostly corn with rye in it.
Yeah.
Not as corny, perhaps, as bourbon,
no.
But still plenty corn.
Yeah, so what we drink is rye. It has rye in it, but not 100%.
No, but this is 100% rye.
I think for the price, because it's actually cheaper than water up here.
It actually is.
It's
ridiculously cheap.
It's, if you like Northern Harvest.
Oh, and if you do, you move to Gimli, Manitoba.
this has got some nice, it's nice and toasty. I like it. It's a warm,
Nice warm whiskey.
Yeah. So imagine 2 ounces of warm whiskey.
I am right now. Yeah.
And then imagine a 1/4 ounce of Fernet Branca dumped in it.
Ugh, no, you ruined it.
But then we took out some of the harshness with some simple syrup.
Uh-huh.
A dash of Angostura bitters.
Yeah.
Just to punch you in the face again.
No, but...
We're going to do Angostura drinks. That's what we're going to do next time.
All right.
But not next time. We're going to wait for Dave for that.
Yeah. But isn't the Fernet Branca going to... It's already punching me in the face. Now you're hitting me again with the Angostura?
That's a... Dave and I might punch you in the face. You
know, stop your bleeding.
It's going to be great. Here, want some more Fernet Branca while we wait?
You're a son of a bitch.
The first time I ever heard the term sesquicentennial was in Waiting for Guffman. Because it was that little
community's
sesquicentennial. Blaine.
Yep.
It was Blaine whatever. I'm going to rinse this out.
Oh, yeah, and then what?
While you guys talk about Waiting for Guffman.
Oh, well, I haven't seen it in a few years.
No.
I remember seeing it. Jason, you can back me up when you're up there in the kitchen.
He can't back up. He's got a nice.
That I saw it in the theater, and the only people in the theater were me, our late deceased good friend Mike Roberts, and Jason. And the rest, it was a matinee, I think. It was up at Abbott's.
Sounds about right.
And there was nobody else there for the matinee. So we felt pretty special watching Guffman.
Waiting for Guffman is it's a very particular audience for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, people from community theater.
Yeah, they would
and,
really.
I think that's about it.
Funny show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh.
I'd already seen it, I think, by the time we saw it.
No, okay.
I had said, we got to go see this thing. You're going to love
it.
Oh,
it's worth seeing a few times.
Oh, I own it.
Oh, well, dude.
You should own it.
Really?
The original frame. Yeah. I'm one of from Christopher Guest at a crap game. Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna try this last sip of Fernet Branca.
Oh, you should. You should suddenly, knock that back. And he's fucked.
Oh, I tell you, everybody should have a bottle of this. Just I don't know, in case you want to teach your kids a lesson. They think they want a drink? Here, have something to drink, Sonny.
Well, good luck on your next trip to Italy. You're going to be flagged at the airport, and Mr. Branca, Nick Branca, is going to come down and say,
hey, what's your problem, huh?
Is he going to say that?
Me and my family, she work a lot on this.
Really, you going to add that stuff to it?
I am. But only for you. Dave and I aren't going to have it because we already have a share.
We have to ration it.
I think it's going to be very interesting.
My God. Well, interesting is, but it should be delicious, shouldn't it?
Well, strong.
Oh. Burn.
Yeah. Now the hackles come out.
Yeah.
A bit of a West Coast style.
Yeah, I thought we were going to be basically neutral on this and let people decide.
I shouldn't really be. Toronto, because I've only been to the airport. I've never actually been to Toronto.
Oh, the city.
So forgive me, Toronto.
I've been to Toronto, and I thought it was a pretty cool town, actually. I have no problem with Toronto.
All right.
And Toronto, Jason Dedrick, we're cool. I drove the Don Valley Parkway.
Does everybody who visits Toronto have to drive the Don
Middle Parkway?
Wow. Okay.
What's that one we did in Los Angeles? So we raced down.
Arroyo something. Yeah. Oh man, that was great. I got to get that video edited because it was like 6 lanes of insanity.
Yeah.
Downhill in a dry riverbed, and cars coming exits and entrances from all over the place, and it was
the Arroyo Seco.
Arroyo Seco, right? Yes, dry river.
And it was called a parkway because it was originally a nice slow drive, and it was scenic. And then they pulled it into the Los Angeles highway system and made it 100 miles an hour.
Man, everybody was door handle at 100 miles an hour downhill corners. Oh.
Yeah, no, it's
I was driving with one hand with a camera and the other hand out the window.
Did you feel like Steve McQueen racing?
Yeah, a little bit like Steve McQueen.
We saw the ghost of Steve McQueen.
He said, "Stop," he said. "Stop."
Even I can't drive this.
That's a lot of stir in there, Jason.
It sounds good.
I felt that the Vancouver cocktail wasn't quite chilled enough. It was good, but I really like
that. I hear you.
There's definitely some condensation on the cocktail glass, though.
That's condensation, Johnny. Family Guy.
Oh, well, sorry, I didn't recognize that reference.
I'm making fun of British TV shows called Condensation. What's this on the glass? That's condensation, Johnny. And what's this on my glass? That too is condensation.
Are we going to start doing impressions? I'm waiting for that episode.
Mm. Well, look at this. Now, this is a little darker.
Well, because of that fuel oil you put in there. The kind of stuff you use to heat your house in the summer or winter. Whatever. Canada, so probably summer.
And this has orange.
Oh,
so we're going to use.
Get that baggie out of the way. It looks gross.
You don't want that. The last thing we want is a gross baggie.
Yeah. Oh, look at those. It does make a nice slice, doesn't it? I tell you.
It does. Now, you want to just keep going all the way around the orange.
I just want to make it, one continuous thing.
Little twisty twist, and in it goes.
Yeah, I've got to get the knack of making. I guess you need your muddler, and you can wrap it around the muddler and make a nice spiral.
Batman villain?
Yes.
Dick Tracy villain?
Dick Tracy villain, the muddler.
The muddler?
I'm confused. Yes, because it's I, the muddler. You're all muddled and confused.
Anybody want a drink? Hey, it's the muddler.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, that sounded a lot like Wallace Shawn. It's a very good Wallace Shawn impersonation.
Thank you.
Inconceivable. After he took that role from Mike, we're taking it back.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Wallace Shawn, a great character actor and playwright, stole a
small bit part from a friend of ours
who was an actor.
He said, that's a great Wallace Shawn you're doing.
You think we can get Wallace Shawn?
And they could.
Yeah, apparently they could.
Now, this smells great. You can smell the orange on there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I almost imagine a corn dog. I don't know why.
Don't stop imagining a corn dog. You're making me hungry.
I know. But don't you smell a corn dog in there?
Yep. I think that's the rye. You get a little bit of a toastiness off the rye. Shouldn't be corn. It's all rye. Nice, eh?
That's the Corn Producers of America calling to thank us for our plug.
Yep. You're very welcome.
That is good.
It's sweeter than I thought.
Yes, it is a little sweeter than I.
And I like what the Fernet does to it.
I don't.
You do?
I'm fine with it. I think this,
When you dilute the Fernet down, you're left with just a little bit of the eucalyptus finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what it is. You're right. You get the eucalyptus on the end. And it kind of...
All right. Well, I guess I'll keep that bottle for another couple of years.
Yeah, until you run out of rye anyway.
Yeah. It's coming up.
The Toronto cocktail.
Yeah.
Now, I did a little research.
Okay, yeah, I didn't do any research. So what's the Toronto cocktail
like? Well, this is the strange thing. Apparently, it says, the first known recipe for a Toronto cocktail dates back to 1922, when it was included in the book Cocktails, How to Mix Them. But it was by a guy who was in London, England. So it wasn't... The book makes a reference to the drink being much appreciated by Canadians from Toronto, something that some contemporary bartenders enthusiasts have inferred means the drink was invented here, and we can claim it as our own. But however, Ontario had prohibition on alcohol, which I didn't know this, from 1916 till 1927. Mm. I think in previous shows we said our Canadian prohibition was only like a couple of years, wasn't it?
I forget now what it was.
Maybe it was here.
I don't know if there was. I don't think we had a national prohibition.
No, but that's when it went. Government took control of it.
But provinces could do it as they saw fit.
Mm.
But that seems a little long for... Was it Toronto that had prohibition, or was it actually Ontario?
I said Ontario had prohibition.
Wow.
And it says another thing that would make it unlikely to be Canadian was in Toronto in 1920, it would have been very hard to find Fernet. Sure. Anywhere, so...
Yeah, that seems odd, too. So, unless they have a big Italian immigrant population.
They're sneaking it
maybe.
In.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Then I don't see the Italians breaking any laws knowingly.
It's supposed to be, actually, I read, that Toronto was one of the most multinational cities in the world. So, I mean, it could be that they're a big Italian population. I know
they do. They're known for having a huge population. They have a huge Italian population.
Oh, do they?
Yes, they do.
And they, well, maybe they have. Okay.
Grandpa stuck a bottle in his suitcase.
That's a Greek name? Grandpa stick a bottle in his suitcase?
Yes. I believe it is.
If it's not, it should be. That should be your new character. Yes. Your new Greek character.
Yes.
His friend stick a bottle in your suitcase.
Wow. I like it.
Yeah, I've got to work on it.
Yeah, I've got to work on my Greek accent.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Right. I made dolmas last week, speaking of Greek.
Oh.
Yeah.
Were they good?
They were good.
Oh, I like dolmas. Mm-hmm. But I also like cabbage rolls, which are like dolmas without the effort.
I'm going to call you Jimmy the Greek.
You should call me Jimmy the Greek.
Okay. Our new co-host, the gentleman, Jimmy the Greek.
Fred, stick a bottle in your suitcase.
Yes.
And what were you going to be?
I don't know. You're going to have to work out. Let me know.
You know, I'm going back and forth. Yep. Not that I want to focus on cocktails necessarily.
No.
But
one track mind over.
I kind of like the Toronto.
You know, I hate to admit it, but I think I'm kind of going that way. I mean, I do like the Vancouver.
Now,
it's very close.
We have an option here.
Mm-hmm.
We could just rename them.
Yeah. Do we have that power? We can just rename cocktails?
I don't we think could. So. Or we take the magnanimous Canadian way and say,
they're both equally good.
That's right. There's room for everything, and Toronto might be a little bit better.
You're out. The cocktail. Maybe.
Yeah, no,
and I blame whoever invented the Vancouver cocktail for not stepping up their game then.
It's a little smoother than the Vancouver, I think.
And I think it's more interesting than the Vancouver. But having said that, though, prior to having that, the Vancouver cocktail is also a great cocktail.
Yeah, it was nothing to complain about. No, it was great.
And they're both classy. They're both tricky. They're both thinking cocktails. Yeah.
And these are simple.
Like us.
That's right. Yeah.
Tricky? Thinking?
They're not entry level.
No. These are sippers, but they're not super bitter.
No, they're just a little bitter.
Yeah, so
a little sweet.
Yeah, not like the Negroni, to use an example.
Actually, yeah, isn't that interesting? You're right.
Negroni, very bitter, and it's sort of an acquired taste, not like Fernet Branca, which nobody should ever drink straight. But but no, so this doesn't have that aspect to it. And just an aside, I was just because I think cocktails all the time, 24/7. There's no turning off the cocktail machine.
Right. No. That's why you got fired.
That's right.
Too busy thinking about cocktails and not doing his work.
Thanks, Dedrick.
Anyway. Hospital slammed its doors on you. The intensive care ward said.
Hey. Okay. I was just pursuing my hobby, I said. I says to them.
I says.
So the guys from the companies that make the Martini and Rossi and Campari were saying, you know, once you try Mezcal and your Negroni, you don't go back.
Really?
You don't go back. Because they don't care about the gin. Because they only care about the Campari and the Martini and Rossi. And they're actually, this was at Tales of the Cocktail a couple of years ago, and they were actually trying to come up with a name for the Negroni made with Mezcal. But they said it's an amazing drink. And then I was reading Esquire, Kurt issue, and it was funny. I had a little aside in here. It says, "Stop experimenting with my Negroni. Subtle adjustments are fine, but once you've replaced the Campari with Sinar and the gin with habanero-infused mezcal and the orange slice with dried fermented mango, you no longer have a drink that tastes anything like a Negroni. Cease and desist. Por favor."
Oh.
Anyway. There's turmoil in the cocktail world.
Well, that's one of those funny things that normally you would encourage where you're going to go with the experimenting. You say, I'm going to make a martini, but instead of using gin, I'm going to use whiskey. Instead of using vermouth, I'm going to use Lillet.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to put an olive or an onion in it. I'm going to put a cherry.
Yeah.
But it's a martini.
Yeah.
It's not a martini.
We have a house Caesar. We make it a special way. We use an iceberg lettuce, tomatoes, a little grated carrot, and some blue cheese dressing.
Mm-hmm. It's a Caesar.
Enjoy your Caesar. Wait a second. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think, experimenting is great, but just don't use a label and then people say, well, that's not what I ordered. So if it's a Negroni, make a Negroni. And if you're making something else, call it something else.
Yes. Or at least to maybe do an explanation. Now, there probably, you know, there could be a craft cocktail place that would do a big explanation, and no one's actually going to read it on the menu.
Not after the second drink.
This is our take on the Negroni, but yeah. Instead of that, we've done this and that, and blah, 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 blah. Nobody looks at that.
No. But like the Negroni made with, and I apologize for her going on and on about Negronis 2 weeks or two episodes after, but the Espliato is Espliato, yeah. The Negroni made with...
Oh, the mistake one.
The mistake one, yeah.
Right.
They give it a different name.
Yeah, they added a thing to it.
It's in the family.
Yeah.
But it's got its own name.
Anyway.
What?
I don't know if he made a point, but wasn't that wonderful?
Wonderful.
I was drunk. So before I forget, you got something to say?
No, what have you got there?
I was going to say happy birthday.
Oh my God.
No.
What are you giving me birthday gifts for? Why don't we go out to a place and have a birthday thing?
Yeah, give me that back. No. You can still do that.
What is it?
If I can get you out to any place, we can go somewhere.
Oh, well, I can go out.
Oh.
Anyway. Vulin, 16
anyway.
Years old.
Wow. What that means is you have to get me something at least that good for my birthday.
Oh, what did I get you for your birthday last year?
It was like a $200 bottle of bourbon.
Well, doesn't that give me some...
Or a $70...
I don't, can't you carry that over?
Maybe that is, yeah. No. I don't know what you... It was a nice bourbon is what you got me.
Thank you very much for that. Holy cow.
Well, you know, what I found, and this is not to belittle the work that we're doing here, the important work that we're doing.
Right.
But I've been spending so much time mixing cocktails that I've been ignoring single malt whiskey.
Mm.
Wow.
Now you, it's feeling a bit left out.
I feel bad about that.
You know what? I got a bottle of single malt for my birthday.
Yes.
Which was June 10th.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody. And again, it was one of them faulty bottles.
Yeah.
Like a week later, it was almost all gone.
Gotta look. Sometimes there's holes in the bottom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hole in the top.
That's the worst one. A lot comes out of there.
Yeah.
You gotta put some saran wrap over that.
So what I did was, and you always laugh at this, I went and bought some cheap bourbon.
Yeah?
Same problem.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder how the cheap bourbon would have solved that.
I know. No. Faulty. Faulty. The cork. I think it's the cork.
You know what you need is more Fernet Branca, because nobody's drinking that stuff.
We have a chance in August, and I don't know whether we talk about it here or not. Oh, well. Here we go.
Yeah, see what happens.
The White Rock Whiskey Society mm-hmm. is having their annual summer fun festival,
mm-hmm.
and we have an opportunity to go to it
mm-hmm.
and do the show.
Mm-hmm. Really? How would that work?
That's what I don't know. So it's really, that's why I probably shouldn't have brought it up now, because people at home are thousands of
listeners. They'll be looking forward to it.
That's right. Or they'll be saying, well, that seems like more of a bi-weekly meeting kind of thing that they should be discussing on.
You mean like Alcoholics Anonymous?
It's like Alcoholics Anonymous, except the exact opposite.
Because
yeah.
there's a bunch of guys
mm-hmm.
and the occasional girl.
Mm-hmm.
But does that mean that there's 10 cocktails that we make for everybody out of the single malts that they have? Or do we just drink single malt and talk about single malt?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let's if anybody hears this in time to stop us,
mm-hmm.
otherwise that could happen.
Yes. I mean, I'm not against it, yet I don't know what the format would be for...
Yeah, so...
Or is it a matter of making whiskey cocktails and having guys come in one at a time to...
We could do a couple of whiskey cocktails if there's... See, we have to find out what's left and see if we can use what's there...
Yeah, but doesn't that seem like awful? Like, wouldn't somebody would fly all the way from Scotland to say, what did you do? They say, oh, we took a Glengoyne 16-year-old and we mixed it.
With lemon juice.
With lemon juice and Fernet Branca and Coke.
Oh. Oh, I paid money to see that.
Yeah.
It sounds good right off the bat. Well, you know, we'll investigate. We'll talk to the society.
There you go.
All right. Well, so the Toronto. So we're gonna table that.
We're tabling that.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. All in favor? Aye.
Second. All right.
Yeah.
But the Toronto. And so next time we're gonna do. We don't know what we're gonna do. We're gonna leave it up in the air because we're gonna be on the road because Dave's locking his house.
That's right.
He's locking us out. I don't know what the hell.
Dave Summers. Elsewhere.
Yeah. It's the summer of Dave.
Dave has that kind of lifestyle. He doesn't have to stick around.
He just packs up and goes. Then he comes back.
Yeah.
He goes again.
Yeah.
I can never tell with him.
He's like the wind.
Is he?
Well, transparent. Knocks over your garbage cans.
Okay, then he is like the wind.
Or secretive and you can never catch him.
Yeah.
You can never hold him.
That too.
You can't hold me. It's like trying to hold the wind.
That's right. Yeah. But I think mostly it's knocking over garbage cans.
Yeah, that's the one thing they both have in common.
They'll tear a branch off your tree.
There is,
push it through your windshield.
There's a possibility I'll be visiting some fairly well-known liquor places, bars in the U.S.
Oh.
Yes.
Now, I don't know for sure. I don't want to name names.
You don't want to name names.
Because I don't know for sure.
But what you can do is use your telephone to make a little on-the-spot recording. I've done that. It's never worked out really well.
No, but it's getting better because I like your video clips.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
See, I did when we were in New York. I did an audio clip,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid to even play it because it sounds like that time, the first time you ever get a tape recorder. And I'm sort of smiling. He's kind of like, "Well, I'm here. I've gotten too quiet. Like I'm going to bother people. Like I've been talking like this in a bar. Mm-hmm. I sure love this drink. Let me just record this. I am not. I've ordered this drink.
Yeah.
And you know what?
No.
This is a special screw you to the Nomad Bar in New York City.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you've been holding this for a long time.
Well, it just occurred to me because that's where I had this wonderful drink at the Nomad Bar. And they're all ballyhoo about the Nomad Bar. They got the library bar in there. They got this other wonderful bar.
Yep.
It's a fantastic bar.
It is.
The people were very nice.
Yep.
And so I sent them an email.
Yeah.
And I said, "I love this drink. Do you share the recipes for your drinks?
Uh-huh.
Or can I have, you know, I was sort of...
Yeah.
I was Canadian about it. Yeah. I was half sweet and half asking for it, you know.
Yeah.
Giving them the out to respond and say, you know what? It's a proprietary thing. We don't share our recipes.
Right.
We're the only place in the fucking world that doesn't share our cocktail recipes."
Is that what they said?
That's, well, anyway, no response.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, well, okay, no response. Interesting that there's no response since you're in the hospitality industry in New York City. Doesn't that count for something?
I guess not.
So I dug a little bit deeper into their website.
Oh.
And I CC'd
in
general manager, general information,
and
the food and drink section of the Nomad Hotel.
Nice.
And said, and forwarded what I had said to say, "Oh, I haven't heard back. Is it possible to get this wonderful recipe of this drink that I enjoyed so much in your hotel? Mm-hmm. I loved it so much.
Yes.
I live on the other coast.
Mm-hmm. So far away.
I would like to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you don't share your recipes.
Yeah.
General manager, general information, food and drink department."
Mm-hmm.
No response. Wow. What the hell is that?
That's New York, I think.
What did you do to piss
them off? I don't know.
What did you do to piss them off?
I didn't do anything to piss them off.
I think you did. You must have said something.
I didn't. I went there, I ordered a drink, and was so excited I asked them. I actually went to the store and did not buy their book.
That's where you went wrong.
I don't know if they know that they didn't buy their book. They have a huge, huge hardcover book.
They probably
have a beautiful book, The Nomad Hotel.
They should tell you to buy the book.
They have a huge book.
I want that book.
It's like a cookbook of their, because they apparently have a great restaurant.
I'm going to get that.
At the very back of the book, like a speakeasy kind of a thing, their bar book is hidden in the cover of the book. And you have to lift it out. You know, when they put like the ribbon underneath it, and you lift it up and the book comes out.
Mm.
And I looked at the book hoping that drink was in there, and it wasn't. And that's when I prompted me to call them and contact them. And no response from the Nomad Hotel. So don't stay there. Don't go there.
I think I should have bought the book and said, "I just bought your book."
No, because the book's $120. Who buys a $120 cookbook? Who the hell do these people think they are?
Is that on Amazon?
Well, you know what? I just answered my own question. These people are trying to sell a book to people for $120.
Are they going
to give me the recipe?
That's for volume two.
Mm.
Anyway, don't go to the Nomad Hotel.
Now that just makes me want to go to the Nomad Hotel.
I would go back to the Nomad Hotel.
In a drop of a hat.
But what I would do is when I was sitting at the bar...
It's still the nuts.
I stole the nuts. I didn't know they gave us nuts at the Nomad Hotel.
Ew.
But I would ask the nice bartender there. There was several on, and they were all very nice. There was a girl and two guys. And I would say, "What's the recipe for this drink?"
I'm sure you get it.
Anyway, back to you, Dave. Don't be afraid to record, and record loud and proud in your deep baritone voice.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Dave Coyne, the voice of doom.
I don't, well, can't I just video record it, and can you grab the audio? I don't know, maybe. That's going to be tough, isn't it?
Sounds technical.
Sounds technical.
Either or. I mean, video was great when Fred did the video, because he was able to see the drink.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I just...
And you get to see his wife absolutely looking at her phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interested in what
not interested.
Fred has to say, no, I'm not interested.
I'm doing stuff all the time.
Yeah. So if you do take shots, get the drink. Don't get you or Jessica. Get the surroundings. Get that kind of thing.
Damn. Mm. Oh, yeah.
People aren't interested in us.
No. We're just the conduit to the cocktails.
The conduit.
Yes. Yeah. It's like a Stargate for cocktails.
We're the Stargate for cocktails.
You pass through and...
Stargate, filmed in Vancouver, the TV series.
Yes.
So that's the Vancouver cocktail. Everything else?
Toronto.
Toronto.
Well, that was great.
Yeah, it was great. Great show.
I thought we were going to be more Canadiana. I don't know if this was Canadiana at all.
Well, we're Canadian.
This
I guess
so.
I mean, it's pure Canadian content, except for the Fernet Branca, which came from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know.
There you go.
Anyways. All right. Well, I'm good with that.
Yep. And,
did you just hit the off button? Where do you turn this thing off? What?
Let me take care of it.
So make both the drinks and see if you don't prefer the Toronto cocktail to the Vancouver cocktail.
They're different. I mean, it's funny because they're both crystal clear. One's just a little more amber than the other. Different flavor profiles, but both pretty tasty.
Really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
They should be your second drink.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you want this as your first drink.
Mm-hmm.
You have something that you know as your first drink.
Mm-hmm.
You have this as your second drink, either of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have another one because...
You got nowhere to go.
That's right.
And you might as well.
Yeah. And any other drink is better than both these drinks.
After you've had two of these, this is when you ask the bartender, because you've got your nerve. They say, can you make me something that special?
Yeah.
Make something that you'd like.
Say I'm a fan of the craft.
Don't say that.
Yeah, don't say that.
God
knows think you're a pretentious asshole.
Yeah, you'll be charged $17 for a cocktail. Let's say...
throw your silk scarf over the one shoulder. First.
Before you say it.
Yeah, if it's already over there, surreptitiously pull it down.
So you can do that.
Yeah. And then over the shoulder.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, Jason, when you asked that, when you told them... You're a bit fan of the craft.
You've had them go to extra effort just for you.
He made you that drink.
Right,
sure.
Right.
Special.
I hope you rewarded him, didn't you?
Oh, I did reward him.
Oh.
Because I was already full of other booze and a scotch ale.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So you're pretty loose with your change.
I felt like Fred Partridge. I had imaginary garish cufflinks on and sunglasses.
Yeah. He's doing his Roy Orbison show after this podcast.
Hey, guys, got to make a living.
Tribute show.
Yes, I was very generous to the young man behind the bar who had a little flat hat on and ridiculous sideburns.
despite that,
I hope he's
looks,
not listening.
Despite the look of your server, you have to remember though, if they've gone to a little extra effort for you, it only seems fair that you should go to a little extra effort for them
and
tip big.
And visit us on Instagram,
exactly.
Cocktail Podcast.
Like the website, www.gentlemanofelegantvision.com.
Those places. Well, that was a surprise.
Yes. Hi, folks. This is, I guess, your epilogue to our last episode.
It's like a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you waited through the credits, this is the bonus you get.
Yeah. We did wrap up our last podcast, but then after we finished, I thought we were talking about experimentation. And so I thought, well, I've got half a glass of the Vancouver cocktail and half a glass of the Toronto cocktail. What if I were to pour the Vancouver cocktail into the Toronto cocktail and see what kind of taste? And I have to tell you, we've all tried it.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
It's not bad.
And it's really kind of
funny. I don't know how you mix it, but good luck.
Yeah.
But it's actually, it's a pretty pleasant drink.
Yeah.
It,
may I have another sip?
Yeah, I have maybe you can describe it a little better than I can, the taste profile.
Actually, Fred's probably the guy to describe it, but you get still the eucalyptus-y from the the
Fernet.
Fernet, which almost gives it a tea-like quality.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
The gin and the rye are just in there. There's not a fight between the gin and the rye like you think there would be.
Mm.
The orange and the lemon twist is in there. The orange bitters with the Angostura bitters, there's nothing wrong with that. No, it's just a very pleasant
combo. We're going to have another sip of that.
Yeah, because another sip. And
that was a surprise.
A simple syrup is in there that's going up against the Fernet. I have to look at the recipe again. Yeah. We've already covered it up. And so what would this be called? You're going to call it, you're going to go halfway across? You're calling it the Regina?
I think Winnipeg is probably closer to the middle.
Winnipeg's probably closer to the middle of Canada, but is it halfway between Toronto and Vancouver?
Think so. I think so. If you look at the map.
Lloydminster?
It's a long
Moose
Jaw? Moose Jaw.
It's time for a Canadian roll call. Canadian city roll call.
Maybe our listeners come up. It's. I'm surprised. I mean, every sip, it's like, it's not. It should. I don't believe it works.
And this is a message for the people of Vancouver and of Toronto to come together. We're all Canadians. Do not drink beer.
I don't see that. Yes, don't drink beer, whatever you do. More cocktails. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's a surprise.
It is a surprise.
So we might be the Winnipeg cocktail.
I think it's this one.
It might be the Regina cocktail. We're gonna look at a map. And
we'll
anybody
you know
can,
later.
Lake
Brandon,
of the,
maybe Brandon, Manitoba.
Lake of the Woods.
Lake of the Woods. What's that... I can't think of the other...
Portage La Prairie?
Churchill?
The Churchill cocktail?
Yeah, that's a little bit due north, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little further apart.
Oh, it's got ice in it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so you don't have ice in this one.
But yes.
There you go.
That's great. I think that is the most Canadian thing we could have done, actually, is blending those two together.
Drinks together.
Into the mosaic.
Oh, don't.
The multicultural cocktail.
There we go. You get awfully
bienvenue.
You get awfully flowery when you've been drinking.
I know. Now we have to do it in French. Bear with us. This is going to take a while.
And do it word by word.
Word by word.
A bientôt. Au revoir. À demain.
That's right. Find the old Canadian centennial song.
Mm.
Canada.
Too bad we don't know the words.
We love you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. And that completes our addendum, our epilogue for this show. I don't know if we'll ever have another epilogue.
Iron Man, what are you doing here? Excelsior!
Yep.
Stan Lee, what are you doing here?
All right, you've had far too much alcohol.
I'm sorry. Well, of course. And you two at home should have too much alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have too much alcohol at your local drink establishment, by all means, you gentlemen of alcohol leisure, tip it. Yeah.